This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, December 28, 2014, the Feast of the Holy Family, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in His ways. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in Thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord and walks in His ways. That is just not a subjective proclamation from Scripture that, oh yeah, maybe, maybe. It is a promise. It is a promise from God, and the consequences of fearing the Lord and walking in His ways actually come to fruition in the family. That's what that psalm goes on to say. I hope you were being attentive to that this morning. These both temporal and spiritual blessings, but I want to talk about the temporal blessings today, the benefits of walking in the fear of the Lord and walking in His ways, because those benefits manifest themselves in our homes. I always harp, probably more than some people like to hear around here, about living practical Catholicism. When you live practical Catholicism, it starts in your home. That's where you live it. I said in a homily a couple weeks ago, you have to live a Christian life. And I said, well, you know, I go to church every day. You don't live here. Okay? You don't live here. You come here and you learn. You are strengthened by the sacraments of grace that the Lord gives us. But it starts in your homes. It is nothing less than the domestic church, and I'll get into that in a little bit. But that's where these blessings come to fruition. Now, you sit back and you look at our day and time, and, hey, don't talk about my family, okay? Church is church, but family is family. Guess what? We don't approach God on our own terms. If the family is a domestic church, then we can't approach that on our own terms either. And there's actually a practical manifestation of approaching God on your own terms, and that is the fact that, guess what? That ethos is not working for us. And by that I mean the differentiation. We Catholics, those pagans, those heathens that live on it, guess what? Our stats aren't any better than theirs when it comes to keeping families together. That is not God's fault. That is not God reneging on this promise. That is our fault. It is our fault for not living in our families according to His revealed will. Today is the Feast of the Holy Family, and we should use them as an example. They are the example. He gives us rules in which we are to live in our families. This is where we're dropping the ball. We're listening to the world as opposed to living like Catholics. That is the crux of the matter. Rules for Christian households. That is actually the subtitle for this psalm that the publishers of this particular edition of the Scriptures said. This psalm is about rules for Christian households. And it starts out with, blessed are everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways. How do you walk in His ways? You know what? To ask that question, to sort of throw a question mark into a bunch of people on their reasoning abilities. Because it is very explicit. All right? Very explicit, the way we're supposed to live it out. And it's just not the readings for the day. It is not Old Testament stuff. It is throughout the New Testament, the way we are supposed to live out. And it starts in the structure of our families. We have to structure our families the way God wants us as Catholics to structure our families. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her. Husbands, you are the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church. That's not me saying this, because I'm a hard case, picking and choosing. That is the rules for a Christian home. the husband, the father, taking upon himself the role that he has assumed, the head of the household. He is answerable to Almighty God for the way his family runs. His family falls apart. His family's not what it should be. He is answerable to Almighty God. Because as I said before, these are explicit rules. And if you don't follow the rules, there's a definition of sin. And that is any lack of conformity to or violation of the revealed will of God. If you violate that, husbands, fathers, you are in sin. Wives, like I said, unfortunately, we listen to the world. All right? Marriage is not a 50-50 proposition. Oh my gosh, I can't believe you said that. It's not. It's not a 50-50 proposition. There's no other place in the world where things are 50-50 propositions as far as structure. It doesn't happen in the business world. You always have a CEO. It happens in the military. You always have a commanding general. In the family, you have a father. Wives, be subject to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Wives, obey your husbands. When you do pre-Cana, it's usually a big laugh. Hopefully it's a laugh, because if it goes any further, then we have problems. Well, I'm not going to say that obey stuff. Well, ha, 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 ha. Guess what? You don't say it at your wedding, I'm not doing your wedding. Well, it's in the liturgy that you can leave that out. I don't care. Catholics, they have a right to be married. Yes, right. That is absolutely true. And you can find 98% of priests, probably, that will do that. I will not, because you're entering into something already on thin ice. What other parts of Scripture don't you want to apply to your marriage? Nobody ever held a gun to a woman's head and said, well, maybe, you got to get married, especially in this day and age. It's a voluntary commitment. It's not a 50-50 proposition if you are a Catholic. It is a structure of the family. Wives, be subject to your husbands. Children, obey your parents in everything. Children, obey your parents in everything. Because they are the representatives of Almighty God in this world. They're the first time you see a face of God. And that's your mother and father in the family. They represent Him. And you are to obey your parents in not just what you like, not when you like it. You are to obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Oh man, that's pretty heavy on the kids. Guess what? You know when that applies more so? When you get older. Honoring your father and your mother. Folks, listen, okay, guess what? When they're 4 and 5 years old, don't look at them and go, honor your father and mother. Don't give them mandates of Scripture. Make them obey you, mother and father. That is your job. You are to make them obey you. Because when you make them obey you, when they are children, they will grow up correctly, and they will continue to do that. That reading, the first reading today from Sirach, I love that reading. Because it talks about the honor given to children who honor their parents even when they get old and lack understanding. To honor your father and mother. That is a commandment for adults, not for children. You make your children obey when they are small. That's what you are supposed to do. That is the structure of the Catholic family. Because it is a microcosm of the church. The church has a structure. The family has a structure. We as Catholics do not have the luxury or license to go, well, I run mine the way I want to. It works out fine. No, it doesn't. Just because you think it does, it doesn't. It works well when you structure it the way it's supposed to be structured. Because it is the domestic church. It is the first and foremost manifestation of the church, of the Christian life. That's where the foundation gets laid. Your kids are here for an hour-ish a week, maybe a little bit more. They go to Sunday school, things like that. What do you learn in an hour a week? You forget that by Sunday evening. You got to live the life in your home. The manifestation of the Christian life starts when children, when they observe the fraternal love between a husband and a wife. They observe that fraternal love, that love that is self-sacrificing, a love that goes all the time, not just sometimes. It is always a fraternal love. You teach your kid something as practical as the joy of work. You know, everybody likes to grouse about their job. Before this happened, I had a job out there. I had a cool job. I groused still. You're going to grouse about your job, grouse about it with your coworkers. Don't come home and grouse about it to your kids or, you know, around the kids. Because what does it do? It communicates negativity to them. You're doing your job because you have ulterior motive. You know, it pays well. You know, I like it, but it pays well, and you continue to do it. That's right. It keeps food on the table and a roof over your head. It is a blessing of Almighty God. And if you badmouth it, you're badmouthing a blessing of God. The blessing that keeps food on the table and a roof over your head. And we play on that kind of a negativity. Those of you who've raised kids, you know, you can get your kid all excited about the first day of school when he's little. Oh, you're going to love school. After they're at school for a little while, they start talking to older kids. I hate school. I hate school. And all of a sudden, what do they do? They start hating school. You know, we play off stuff like that, okay? The family is the place where we see the manifestation of the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. Generous forgiveness. They ought to see that. Generous forgiveness for no matter what. You don't understand what he did to me. You don't understand what she does. I understand that every time I walk in that confessional, I am generously forgiven for everything that I do repeatedly, over and over again. If Christ loves me like that, I can suck it up and live in my family like that. The family is a missionary work. If you set the stage in your home, it will just happen when they leave. Because that will just be who they are. They will be loving, they will understand how to relate to other people in a Catholic way, and they will maintain that. If you maintain it, because even if they go to school for 6-8 hours a day, guess what? They're in a house a lot longer than that. So they should see Catholic practice in their homes. And that means divine worship in the home. Like I said, you're here an hour. Teach your kids the reverence of Almighty God, even in his images around the house. You walk through your house and you have a crucifix prominently displayed, or an image of the Blessed Virgin Mary. A little head nod occasionally. Do the sign of the cross in front of it. Holy water fonts are excellent around the house. Because when you start teaching children reverence, if they're in their home in their reverence, when they come into the house of God, they will jack it up. They will understand reverence. You know, unfortunately, we are living in a generation, we're actually two generations into it now, where people haven't been taught reverence, and you can see it. I love being here. I love this place. But I visit a lot of other parishes, and I am aghast sometimes at what I see, the way people treat the Blessed Sacrament, even administrators thereof. A different story for a different day. People don't understand reverence. This is a negative, unfortunately, something I saw just a couple weeks ago. We have a preschool, and little kids come, and their parents pick them up. And there's an image of Christ on the lawn. His hands are outstretched. It's an image of our Lord Jesus Christ, okay? I get a father who holds up his little girl. She's like 2.5 or 3. Give Jesus a high five. Ha, 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 ha. That is horrendous. That's terrible. It's not cute. It is not cute whatsoever. It is teaching that Jesus is like some buddy of yours. He's not. He's the Savior of your soul. He is Almighty God. He is the second person of the eternal Trinity. That's who he is. And he should be treated accordingly. He should not receive high fives. That's what we're dealing with right now in the church. And we ought not be. It's a generational problem. It's going to take generations to fix it. We need to fix it. And I say all this stuff, I'm single. None of this stuff applies to me. Guess what? If you're a member of a Catholic church, you're a member of a family. You're a member of the family. If you've been here for just a little while, you're a little brother or sister. Learn from your older brothers and sisters and your mothers and fathers in the faith. If you've been here a long time, you are an older brother or sister, and you are an example to other people. If you're a teacher or a catechist or something along those lines, you are a father or mother in the faith. You are part of a family, and this stuff applies to you. Does this mean that, if I structure my family, that you'll never have any problems? Why shouldn't you? Why shouldn't you have problems? Think of the Holy Family as your example. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, second person of the eternal Trinity, the immaculately conceived Blessed Virgin Mary, and Saint Joseph, the patron of the church. You would think, man, how much holiness can you have under one roof? Isn't that great? I bet you everything always went well. Read the scriptures. The flight into Egypt. A king trying to kill other babies to try to get to yours. A sword will pierce your own soul. Saint Joseph died during our Lord's lifetime. Why didn't he miracle him healthy? He's Saint Joseph. I'm Jesus. Why didn't I? Because they were human beings. They lived in this sin-cursed and fallen world. And there is an immutable decree that we all die. It happens earlier or later. We get sick. Guess what? It just happens. It's not a matter of everything will always be good in your families. It's a matter that you will react to the things properly. You will react to them as Catholics. You will react to them in faith, acquiescing to the will of Almighty God. That's Psalm 128 for those of you who take notes on things like that. 127 if you use older translations. It's a psalm written to exiled Jews as they come back into the Promised Land. The Jews turned their back on God and were exiled time and time again, and they were brought back. This is a letter for them, and it's a letter for us. And when you think about it in the context of the family, it applies, because some of us are exiles currently. Like I said, this was written to exiles coming into the Promised Land from exile in a foreign land. Some of us are returning from the exile of broken homes. Guess what? It's over and done with. It's over and done with. Keep your eyes forward. But it's a broken home because it wasn't structured nor lived in the fear and in the admonition of the Lord. So, it's over and done with. Eyes forward. Start doing this stuff, and it won't happen again. If you're in the throes of turmoil in your home now, fix it. Oh, you don't understand. Don't I? I hear about it every single day. And it's hard for me to sit with a poker face on sometimes when I'm looking at people who give me head nods out here. Yeah. Amen. Oh this, oh that. Did you not listen last? Forgiveness. Forgiveness. You can fix it. It doesn't matter how bad it is. If he could do that and fix everything that you've ever had going on, you can bite the bullet and forgive somebody for doing something else to you. But if all parties are living in the fear and admonition of the Lord, then you can fix it. If everything's going well, excellent. Keep it that way. Stay here. Learn more. Fear him more. Understand more of his will and his ways, and you can't go wrong. You will receive the reward. And these are his words about the reward, not mine. I quote, "Know that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance and your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.